Blog Talk Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. Welcome to the program, Classical Arabic, the Language of Revelation. I am your host this evening, Imam Sadiq Jihad, coming live from Detroit, Michigan. This evening, we want to share some ayahs of the Quran relating to the second form and its application in terms of understanding the glorious Quran. But before we relate the verses, we want to encourage you, if you have not already, to secure the book entitled The Language of Revelation, which is highly acclaimed by Imam Warifdin Muhammad, Sheikh Ali, Suleiman Ali, and others. We encourage you strongly to send $25 to Post Office Box 401165, Redford, Michigan 48240. Or you can go directly to the shopping cart, SadiqJihad.com. That's SIDDEQ, Jihad, JIHAD.com. And also you can contact me via email. That's Sadiq, SIDDEQ, at MSN.com. And there you could possibly leave your phone number or leave your email, and I can make contact with you and possibly do a transaction over the phone. The $25 for the book includes two instructional CDs that will help you learn the alphabet and the sound system. And if you have not mastered the alphabet and the sound system, you can go to the archives of the station IWDM, and it's archived there for your reading and listening, I should say, archived for your listening. The website is blogtalkradio.com/station-IWDM. And so now we're going to go over the conjugation of the second form. Now, we had mentioned before the conjugation of the first form. We're going to deal mainly with the past tense or perfect tense, but we may give you some ayahs relating to the indicative or the imperfect tense, in the sense that an action is occurring as we speak and on into the future. So we're going to conjugate the first form again for your review, and you'll find that the only difference between the first form past tense conjugation and the second form conjugation in the past tense is a matter of the insertion of a shadda over the second letter of the triliteral root verb. So now we have the 13 conjugations in the past tense, and I encourage you strongly to secure the book so that you can follow the programs, and inshallah, at some point when the consistency of the audience increases, we hope to have an audio to go along with the visual. Or I should say, actually, the visual going along with the audio, because we do, in fact, have the audio now. Praise be to Allah. So the first of the independent pronouns, because we encourage you to learn the pronouns along with the conjugations. And as we go, I think you will see why. So the independent pronoun I in Arabic is ana, ana, a, and then na. So that's simply aleph with fatha, a, noon with fatha, na, lengthened with aleph, na. So that's ana. And we have the ayah in the Quran, a portion of the ayah where it says, Kul innama ana basharum miflukum. Say to them, I am only but a flesh and blood human being just like you. This is the command that Allah gave to the Prophet to tell the people so that they would never exalt him to be equal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Highly exalted is he. And we know that the error has occurred in the Christian faith, and that they have in fact deified Jesus. But we know for sure that when Jesus lived, he did not tell the people to worship him. He told them, "Hear you, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." He made it clear to the audience that he was not God. He said, "How can the sent be greater than the sender?" And many other things that Isa Ibn Maryam said that's right in the Bible itself. But we know that the Christians, many of them, they take the translation where it says, "I and my Father are one," to suggest that Jesus is one and the same in terms of being God himself. Well, in reality, he was saying, I believe, O Muslims, O audience, that he was saying that he was in submission to that one God. So his life was a testament to his connection with God and that he obeyed God. Praise be to Allah. So the next conjugation here, or I should say independent pronoun, is anta. That's you, masculine, singular. So now we're going to give you the two conjugations for I did and you did, masculine, singular. And that is fa'altu. Fa'altu. So here we have the letter fa with fathah, ayn with fathah, lam with sukun, or al with sukun. So that's fa'al. And then the ta with dhamma makes that particular conjugation I did. So we want to understand that we use the fa'ala as a paradigm or a model verb for all the other verbs because of the very meaning of fa'ala. Fa'ala literally means he did. He did a particular act. It could have been writing, talking, singing, crying, whatever. So we use this particular verb as a model. So anta is you, masculine, singular, and the conjugation using fa'ala is fa'alta, fa'alta. The ta is taken from the end of the independent pronoun, if you will, with fata and connected to the verbal triliteral root fa, ayn, and lam. And we come up with fa'alta. It follows a logic that is very, very easy to follow. Next, we have the independent pronoun nt. Kind of sounds like auntie, and is indeed feminine. You, feminine, singular. Anti. So, anta is you, masculine, singular. Anti is you, feminine, singular. And the logic would have it that the verbal conjugation is fa'alti. So far we went over fa'altu, meaning I did. Fa'alta, meaning you, masculine, singular, did an act. And fa'alti, you, feminine, singular, did an act. Next, we have the independent pronoun huwa. Huwa, meaning he. Huwa. And we know that from Surah Al-Ikhlas, where we say, "Kul huwallahu ahad." Notice I shook the D. This is a rule of tajweed called qalqala. Qalqala, which means shaking, or he shook. Qalqala. So we shake the D. Again, kul huwallahu ahad. Allahu samad. Shaking that D also on samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Here we have two dals in that ayat I just uttered. And so the dal that's in the middle of the ayah, we shake it just a little bit, but the last one we shake massively. So if you listen carefully, lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. I thought some years ago that one of my companions was showing off and acting too proper when he would shake the D, but I wasn't aware of the rules of tajweed at that time. And him knowing me, he knew that I had an interest in wanting to understand the Quran as opposed to reciting. So he didn't take the time to tell me why he did that. But praise be to Allah, I came to understand it later. And we do know, too, that the rules of tajweed are encouraged when we recite the Quran, but they are not mandatory if we're just talking or trying to explain some ayahs in the Quran. But if you call yourself a qari, a reciter of the Quran, during the prayer or in a public gathering, then it would be good for you to learn the rules of tajweed. And the rules of tajweed are contained in the book that I have written called The Language of Revelation, Classical Arabic Language Instruction with Exercises and Quran Commentary. Moving right along, the independent pronoun for she is hiya. Hiya. H-E-Y-A. Hiya. That's she. You hear he on the first part of that, right? But it's hiya, meaning she. And the conjugation using fa'ala, meaning she did an act, like a completed act in the past tense or perfect tense. Fa'alat. Fa'alat. So here we have the fa with fatha, ayin with fatha, lam with fatha, fa'ala. And then we attach the ta with sukun, meaning no fatha on the ta, no kasra on the ta, no dhamma on the ta. Another way, no a on this ta, no e on this ta, and no u on this ta. Just simply the letter T attached to la. So we got fa'alat, fa'alat, meaning, again, she did. Next we have nahnu. A little air coming out with that H. Nahnu. N-A-H hyphen N-U for transliteration assistance there. Nahnu, meaning we. The verbal conjugation in the first form, perfect tense or past tense, is fa'alna. Fa'alna. So here we have the nun with fatha followed by aleph to lengthen it as the ending that symbolizes we being the action group, if you will. Fa'alna. Fa'alna. Next we have antum. You masculine plural. The conjugation, you all did, or y'all did, masculine group, three or more. Fa'altum. Fa'altum. Antum fa'altum. So let me go back in hopes that you have the book, or in hopes that you will secure the book at another time, or perhaps you can get this conjugation from other books that are out in the world. Ana fa'altu, anta fa'alta, anti fa'alti, huwa fa'ala, hiya fa'alat, nahnu fa'alna, antum fa'altum. I'll do it slow. Ana fa'altu, meaning I did. Anta fa'alta, you did. We mentioned you twice, right? That's emphatic speech. Allah uses emphatic speech by having an independent pronoun outside, or preceding, I should say, the verb, for emphasis. Anti fa'alti, you masculine singular, you did. Anti fa'alti, you feminine singular, you did. In other words, you is being uttered twice if you put the independent pronoun before the verbal conjugation. Huwa fa'ala, he did. Hiya fa'alat, she did. Nahnu fa'alna, we did. Antum fa'altum, you all did. Masculine plural, three or more. Antunna fa'altunna. So antunna is the independent pronoun, you feminine plural. And the conjugation, we just take the tunna off of the independent pronoun and attach it to the end of the triliteral verb. And we have fa'altunna. Al-Tunnah. Next, they, masculine plural, three or more. Whom fa'alu. Whom fa'alu. This independent pronoun is, if you want to transliterize it, H-U-M, not hum, but whom. Fa'alu. Now here, there's a little difference. We have a dhamma on the third letter of the verbal root. And we lessen it with waw, and we have an aleph following the waw, and we call that aleph the guardian aleph. It guards the next word from the verbal pattern, fa'alu. Why do they use the aleph? It has no sound. It is there to make it crystal clear when you're reading Arabic that the waw is not a part of the preposition or word to follow it. And if you notice the waw, it goes below the line and it goes into the space beyond it somewhat. So they put the aleph there as a guard from the word or preposition or particle to come. So, whom fa'alu. And out of all of the conjugations, this is the only one that has a dhamma on the lam of the verb or the third letter of the verb. Next, hunna is the independent pronoun for they, feminine plural, which is three or more. Hunna, H-U-N hyphen N-A. Again, H-U-N hyphen N-A. Hunna, they, feminine plural. Fa'alna is the conjugation. Fa'alna. Now notice I did an abrupt stop on the noon. Why so? Because I wanted to make it crystal clear that I was not saying we did. Fa'alna is we did. The fa'alna is they, feminine plural, did a particular act. And incidentally, the word for verb in Arabic, one of them at least, is fi'lun, fi'lun. Fa with kasra, followed by ayin sukun. So I make an abrupt stop and make it a guttural sound. Fi', fi', and then lun, fi'lun. In fact, they have it in the language, fi'lun mazirun fihi. That is, a verb with the increase in it. And we'll go over that at some later date. But it's a beautiful term that's used, talking about how the verb structures have the increase in it in terms of giving shades of meaning by mixing letters in between the triliteral or quadriliteral roots. And some have just two letters, in the case of dalla, which means to go astray, shakka, which means to doubt. So continuing on here, antuma is the independent pronoun, you, masculine and feminine dual. That would be two males, possibly two females, or a male and a female. Two entities doing a given act. Antuma. So we take the tuma off of the independent pronoun and attach it to the end of the verbal root. And we have fa'altuma, fa'altuma. Next, we have they, masculine dual. And it is independent pronoun, huma, huma, not whom, in this case, huma. That's ha with dhamma, followed by mim fatha, then the aleph to lengthen the mim fatha. Huma, and the verbal conjugation, meaning they two did an act, or those two did an act, is fa'ala, fa'ala. The lam is lengthened. And it's very important to lengthen that la to la. Why? Because if I said to you fa'ala and I didn't lengthen it, I'm saying he did. So you got the wrong person doing the action, you see. So they, masculine dual, meaning two male entities doing something is fa'ala. If I said to you, they did a good job. Two men came to the house, and I say, fa'ala, fa'alun, pardon me, fa'alan, jadidan, or fa'ala, fa'alun, hasanun. That is, they did an excellent job. Speaking of two entities. Next, we have huma again. The independent pronoun for they, feminine dual, two feminine entities, is the same. So we have huma for they, masculine dual, or we have huma for they, feminine dual. And the conjugation, the last of the 13, is fa'alata. Fa'ala. And then we add ta with fatha, and then we lessen it with aleph. Fa'alata. And that concludes the first form, past tense, conjugation. So now, we want to show to you clearly that all you have to do to conjugate the second form in the past tense is to insert a shadda over the ayn of the verb. When I say ayn of the verb, I mean the second letter of the verb. So we come up with now, fa'altu. Notice I'm making a lot of effort because I'm doubling up on the ayn. And the ayn is a guttural letter coming from the gut. Fa'altu. Fa'alta. Fa'alti. Fa'ala. Fa'alat. Fa'alna. Fa'altum. Fa'altunna. Fa'allu. 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 The next one, they, feminine plural. Is fa'altunna is you, feminine plural. Then fa'alu is they, masculine plural. Next we have fa'alna is they, feminine plural in the second form. Fa'altuma is the second form, you, masculine and feminine dual. And then we have the they, masculine dual, fa'ala, fa'ala. Next we have huma, they, feminine dual, the last of them, fa'alata. To give you another verb, conjugating it in the second form, it's more easier to pronounce. So this is kind of like a tongue twister using the shadda over the ayin. We're going to take the verb allama. Allama means he taught. So I taught would be alamtu, alamtu, meaning I'm doubling up on the lam. Alama, alama. You hear two L's there, right? Alamtu, alamta, alamti. Alama, meaning he taught. Allah says in the Quran, in the second ayah of Surah 55, Allama al-Qur'an, he taught the Quran. We understand that this Allama is suggesting that it's a perfect tense, past tense form, but perfect in the sense that this action of teaching the Quran goes on and on and on and on into the future, to the point when Allah wraps up the human life existence in a scroll. So, Allama al-Qur'an, he didn't just teach it to Prophet Muhammad and to the Mutafassirs and the Sahabas of old. He's teaching it right now to the current day Muslims, and perhaps many ayahs will be understood better now because of the fact of the technological advancement Allah has allowed and blessed the humanity with. So continuing here, she taught would be alamat, 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 alamna, we taught, alamtum, you all taught, masculine plural. Alemtunna, you feminine plural, taught. Alemu, they taught. So I'm doubling up on the L. So whenever you hear a verb pattern where you hear the doubling up of the second letter, then you automatically get a good indication that that is the second form verb being uttered. Alamna, they feminine plural taught. Alamtuma, you masculine or feminine dual taught, meaning two entities did the teaching. And then the masculine dual is alama, alama, lessening the mean. Alama, and then the last one, the feminine dual taught, alamata, alamata. So now we want to talk to you about what the first form implies in terms of meaning. We have said in previous sessions that the first form goes right to the point. It's declarative. It makes statements of fact quickly, right to the point, as Allah does in the Quran, where he says, "Khalaq al-insana min al-alaq." He created a human being from a clinging substance. He says, "Kataba rabbukum ala nafsihi ar-rahmata." Or if you want to use tajweed, "Kataba rabbukum ala nafsihi rahmata." That is, you all's Lord has kataba, has ordained upon himself the rule of mercy. So kataba is the first form, going right to the point of what Allah has done to his own nafs, nafsihi, his own self. Again, kataba rabbukum ala nafsihi ar-rahmata. Or in tajweed, again, kataba rabbukum ala nafsihi ar-rahmata. Continuing on, we want to understand, again, that the first form, he form, meaning fa'ala, is the form that is used to structure most dictionaries and lexicons. So it's very important for you to be able to look at a word, and come up with the triliteral root, that is three-letter root, or it could be a four- or five-letter root verb, but they're not as common as the triliteral roots, and also what we call hollow verbs, and then we have other irregular verbs. Some verbs only have two letters, and one letter is double. And I mentioned a few moments ago, dalla, which means to go astray. Shakka, which means to doubt. And there are many, many others. Karra, which means to rest or decide. Karra. Continuing on here, we want to talk to you a little bit more about the first form and give you some examples from the Quran of the first form in action in the glorious Quran. So let me just thumb back to the area in the book where I have a few examples. So be patient with me if you would. We have in the Surah 21, verse 16, where it reads, وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاءَ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ. Not for idle sport or play did we create, خَلَقْنَا. Allah going right to the point, the heavens and the earth and all that is between. So Allah is letting us know clearly that he was not playing when he created the heavens and the earth. So when he mentions heavens, he's speaking of the seven heavens. But since we're closer to the earth and we know about the earth because we walk on it and we live on it, he mentions it separately. But in fact, he's saying that he has created the whole universe. And it was not for idle sport or play. Continuing on. We have another ayah here where Allah says, Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa samawati wa arda wa ja'ala dhulumati wa nura. This is a portion of the ayah 1 of the surah 6, Al-An'am. Again, Alhamdulillahi alladhi khalaqa samawati wa arda wa ja'ala dhulumati wa nura. Then praise is to Allah, who created the heavens and the earth, and He made the darkness and the light. So I repeat, He made, that is Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, the darkness and the light. And I'm sure that that is really difficult for us to really reflect upon, in the sense that Allah is saying that He Himself created darkness and light. So we can take this from the physical science perspective, and also we can take it from a knowledge and a lack of knowledge perspective. Allah brings us from the darkness of ignorance to enlightenment. Here we are in the month of Ramadan, and we know that that first sliver of light of the moon having the sun shine upon it, after being a black moon in the sense that there's one side of the moon that does not face the earth, that sliver of light is marking the dawn of enlightenment. And we know that this dawn of enlightenment is not talking about the beginning of light coming to us for the first time from a physical perspective, but we're talking about the dawn of intellectual enlightenment. So if you are one who wants to follow a local sighting as opposed to a universal sighting, then that's your prerogative. But we do know that the light of Al-Islam started with one man being given this message of Quran, and he enlightened the whole world from Mecca on into the North Pole and the South Pole. Praise be to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us understand that Allah says in the Quran, Ash-shamsu wal-kamaru bi-husban. The sun and the moon follows courses exactly computed. The word husban is exact, it's computed, it's calculated. It has a reckoning that it doesn't deviate from, unless Allah wants it to deviate down the road. Praise be to Allah. The word hisab, that's ha with kasra, seen with fatha, lifting with aleph, and then the bab with dammatain, hisabun, means arithmetic. This word, or this verbal root, hasaba, is used frequently in the Quran. I think there's an ayah in the surah where it says, Yaksabu ana malahu akhlada. And they calculate that their wealth is going to cause them to live forever. I believe that's in the surah that they call in English the Scandalmonger, I believe it is. So understand that I pray Allah that the Muslims, the world over, will get to the point of following the scientific calculation, because this dawn of enlightenment is talking about the enlightenment of the mental eye. It's not talking about the faulty physical eye, which has many, many, many limitations would not allow the physical eye to compare with the mental eye. Praise be to Allah. You know, the physical eye can only see so far. You know, you got a long ocean, a wide ocean. You can't see it from one side all the way to the other side of the ocean. But we know that the mind's eye has the ability to project and even figure out the nature of things that are far, 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 far away. In fact, light years away. So let me continue here, give you another example of the first form in the Quran, and then we will move to the second form, inshallah. All right, looking here for another example, just be patient with me. I'll give you this one here, where it says, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaqa. We know that to be believed by many, the majority, to be the first ayah that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received when he was in Cave Hira, over 1,444 years ago. Iqra happens to be the first form command, second person masculine singular. Iqra. In this context, O Muslims, I tell you, Iqra is really saying proclaim. And the Prophet Muhammad's response before this ayah was even revealed was, I cannot proclaim. And Allah told him, proclaim in the name of your guardian evolver who created. Let him know that I'm the one that evolved you to this point, and I know you have something to proclaim, and I have filled you up with the proclamation, and you don't even know that you're filled up with it and you have the capacity to deliver it. Then it says, Khalaqal insana min alaq. Again, this first form, khalaqa, I mentioned it earlier, created the mankind or human beings from a leech-like clinging piece of flesh. And then the third ayah of the Surah 96, Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram. That is, proclaim, and your guardian evolver is most bountiful, al-akram. Meaning he has all of what you need to proclaim to the world in terms of it being a proclamation, a blueprint to enliven and to pull the Arab and the people of the world out of the Jahiliya state. In fact, we know that if this world is going to improve itself, it's going to be those of us who understand the Quran, living it and practicing it and being emulated, and then establish Islamic law, Islamic rule, but also be generous and respectful of other people who want to live under the rule of God. Not the rule of human beings, but the rule of God is what we are striving to do here in the hells of North America, America the ugly, America the beautiful as well, and around the world. Alhamdulillah. So now we want to go to the second form, and as I mentioned, I may give you some first form. Pardon me, I may give you some second form imperfect verbs to help express what I need to express regarding this second form. So the first thing I want to mention to you is the ayah in Surah 4, verse 113. It's quite a lengthy ayah, but I'm just going to zoom into the actual second form verb that appears in the ayah 113 of Surah 4. And it is, وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمُ وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمٌ. And that is translated, this portion of this ayah, for Allah has sent down, pardon me, let me go a little bit prior to that, what I just recited. It says, وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمُ وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمٌ. And that is, in translation, for Allah has sent down to you the book and wisdom and taught you, وَعَلَّمَكَ, and taught you what you did not know before, and great is the grace of Allah unto you. This is directly speaking to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but also we know that he is talking to us because this is indeed a book for all times. So allamaka, allama is the verb, and he taught, and then the ka is you, and he taught you, and he taught him in a very intense way over a long period of time. So the second form has something to do with intensity, repetition over a long period of time. Sometimes it could be causative, sometimes it could be estimative or estimative, and also demonstrative, as in the case of this verb, alema. Alema in the first form, ayin with fatha lam with kasra, and mim with fatha alema means he knew. And I might mention to you now that, I shouldn't say might, but I am going to mention to you now that all of the first form verbs do not have fatha on the ayin of the verb. Sometimes it's fatha, sometimes it's kasra, e sound, and sometimes it's dhamma, u sound. In the case of the first form, he knew, alima. Why is the kasra there? Because this particular verb, alima, in the past tense, perfect tense, has the idea of a temporal quality about it. So if I say to you, he knew, he may have known when he was 20 years old, but then he became 92, he may not have, may not know because of dementia and learning much after having learned much, then knowing nothing. Allah says sometimes people are brought from the state of having known much and to the point of knowing nothing. So, alima. So here, alama in the second form is demonstrating knowledge. So if you teach someone, you're demonstrating knowledge. And that is very, very important here in America and around the world. For those who teach, they should know and not be charlatans and not be people who just learn bits and pieces and not really apply themselves to the point where they really know and they can really convey what needs to be conveyed correctly and simply. There's a lot of us who know, but many times the arrogance and the lack of compassion turns people off, and the teaching may become like ward off a duck's back. So in continuing here, I give you another example of the second form in action. And this is Surah 4, verse 119. And this is a imperfect tense verb here. And I find it very, very strong in sound and definitely in meaning. I'm coming from the Surah 4, verse 119, just a portion thereof. And it says, فَلَا يُغَيِّرُنَّ خَلْقَ اللَّهِ. And they translate that is, pardon me, they translate it as, and he will change the fair nature that Allah has created in a human being, or the creation of Allah. Literally it says, and so he will change the creation of Allah. Speaking of shaitan, shaitan promises that he will change and mess up the creation of Allah. And I have to say, many times we see ourselves as not being changes of the creation. But if we house lions and tigers and bears and have birds living in cages, we are changing the creation of Allah in the sense that that creation is being oppressed from living as it was intended to live. And then even more detail, we know that the creation of Allah in terms of morality and whatnot has been changed by shaitan, very much so. In fact, Allah says that most of the people are ungrateful. He also says most of the people, that's over 50%, have a hatred for truth. And that is a strong indictment. And Allah says in the Quran also, it comes to mind, وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَنْشَأَ لَكُمُ السَّمَعَ وَالْأَبْصَارَ قَلِيلًا مَا تَشْكُرُونَ. That is, and it is he who has given you and I the faculties of hearing and seeing with the mental eye and the physical eye, and has given us affections, how to love and enjoy sex, enjoy food, enjoy the sunshine, enjoy so many things. Then he says, Kalilim, just little thanks it is that you all are giving. He puts it in the first form, imperfect tense. Like, we're not giving it now, and we're not giving it, many of us, on into the future. Tashkurun, coming from shakara, which means to be thankful. And we know that one of the attributes of Allah is Ash-Shakur, the one who is ready to appreciate service. What a wonderful English translation. Ash-Shakur, the one who is ready to appreciate service. Praise be to Allah. So this particular ayah that I'm referring to, 4119, I want to share this with you, not to make you think that I'm some person that's trying to exalt myself above you, but I can tell you that this is an actual fact that happened. I was on my way to Cleveland, and I had not prepared the khutbah, so I said I'm going to have to do some marking off of different ayahs, so when I do get to Cleveland to do the khutbah, this was years ago, I'll be ready. So I had the Quran on the passenger seat of my car, and I didn't look at if I was going to touch the Quran from the back, the middle, or the front. I just reached over as I was looking at the road and opened up the Quran. Allah blessed me, wallahi, to open up to the page that has the ayah that I'm talking about. And as Allah would have it, this ayah, 4119, is on the left of the page 224 of the Abdullah Yusuf Ali translation. So I tell people, and I tell myself, that if Allah never does anything else to let me know He's alive and He exists in our personal, individual lives, that was enough. Because can you imagine this great God who is a non-physical being saw fit to have my fingers open up the Quran to the page and to the ayah that I was looking for. And this is not the only time that it happened. Praise be to Allah. So continuing here, we give you another example of the second form in action. And that is Surah 16, verse 41. And I'll give you a moment to get to that particular ayah if you're listening here. And if you happen to be listening to this on the archives, please send me an email to let me know that you heard it, because I'm looking at the switchboard here and I don't have any callers on the switchboard. But many times people will listen from the archives or listen directly from their internet connection. Praise be to Allah. So if you're hearing me, please let me know and introduce yourself to me. I'd like to be your friend. So continuing here, we have the Surah 16, verse 41, which says, وَالَّذِينَ هَجَرُوا فِي اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا ظُلِمُوا لِنُبَوِّئَنَّهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا. That is, to those who leave their homes in the cause of Allah after suffering oppression, Allah says, La nubawwi'annahum, we will assuredly give him or them a goodly home in this world, an excellent home in this world. Hasana, meaning excellent or goodly, is a good word also, but we know in English we say good is a B and A is excellent. So Allah is saying that He's going to give us an excellent home. And I mention this in light of the fact that some of us have the same mentality as the Christians have, where they say, my church home is First Baptist, or my church home is First Corinthians, etc., etc. So I say to you that if your masjid home is a den of oppression, and when I say oppression, I'm talking about intellectual, spiritual incompetence, moral incompetence in the leadership, or moral incompetence in the board of directors, and just the air of not really respecting and regarding the word of Allah, then you should make a hijrah. I remember Imam Muhammad said years ago, he said, if you got an oppressive imam and you know he's oppressive, you all should just leave him and let him stay there by himself until he can't pay the light bill and the water bill and whatnot. He also said one time, for those of you who really, you know, regard what he says, he said that if you go to a Jumu'ah and you're not being enriched or inspired, you shouldn't go to that Jumu'ah. And I say that to you today. So again, it even sounds strong in the second form here. Li nubawwi'annahum. Now here we have the what we call the energetic noon attached to the second form verb, that is noon with shadda fatha. And then we have whom, which is them, at the end. We mentioned whom as being an independent pronoun. It's attached to the second form imperfect verb here. And not only that, we have la in front of the verbal root conjugation. La. That means, that's why they translate it as assuredly. There's no doubt we're going to give those who leave their homes escaping from oppression a goodly home in this world. So we have nu bawwi. Nu bawwi'u is what the real conjugation would be. And so that would be the huwa form, the third masculine singular in the imperfect tense. Nu bawwi'u. Nu bawwi'u. But if you notice, I said, and the Quran says, la nu bawwi'annahum. Instead of having the dhamma on the hamza there, we put a fatha to make way for the strength of the energetic noon. So instead of saying li nu bawwi'annahum, we say li nu bawwi'annahum. That aleph, that fatha is a strong sound. In fact, they say the power of the Arabic language is in the accusatives, in the fatha. It's like we say la ilaha illallah. That fatha on that ha lets you know that that la, that no in front of it, is canceling out the very existence of that word that has the fatha on that ha. So we say la ilaha. We're cutting off that deity like a hatchet. Then we have the exception. Illallah. Translated, as most of us know, there is absolutely. That's why the fatha is on the ha. And that's why we insert absolutely. There's absolutely no deity illallah except the one and only deity. In other words, there are no deities except Allah himself. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I look forward to the day when people will understand that so much so that they will not allow their friend or their buddy or a corrupt imam to get in the way of the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as he should be worshipped. And let us not be people that just overlook faults over and over and over again to the point where no progress is being made. We do not want to be bleeding heart Christians. We want to be people who are balanced, and we want to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is love, but he is also al-muttaqin, that is the avenger. And we know that Allah speaks very, very strong against unbelievers and hypocrites. In fact, he tells the believers that he's going to punish them if they do not go forth in the cause. That's in Surah 9. So, praise be to Allah, we want to understand that the Quran is a balanced book, and you do not have an obligation to just constantly overlook faults, overlook incompetence, and let incompetence be your leader of yourself or others. The Prophet came to be a liberator, to free the people. Wa fi rikab. And to free the necks. So if you free the neck, the head can move. Praise be to Allah. So we know that Wafir Rikab is a part of what Allah has delineated as being one of the things that constitute righteousness in the Surah 2, verse 177. Wafiri ka. In the ransom of slaves, they translate it as many times, but it literally means and free the next. The next, rikab, the next. So continuing here, we're going to go now to the Surah 20, verse 113. So beautiful, this ayah, I love it. In fact, I love all of the Quran. وَكَذَلِكَ أَنزَلْنَاهُ قُرْآنًا عَرَبِيًّا وَصَرَفْنَا فِيهِ مِنْ وَعِيدِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ أَوْ يُحْدِثُ لَهُمْ ذِكْرًا. And that is, thus, كَذَلِكَ, and thus have we sent this down, as in Arabic Quran, Abdullah Yusuf Ali says, but we know that Quran in Arabian can be translated and understood to be a pure proclamation. Or Quran in proclamation pure. Arabian means pure and undefiled without admixture. So Abdullah Yusuf Ali did not translate Quran in Arabian. So inshallah, I believe that I have translated it for you. And also you should know, the araba, the root of it, also means a carriage or a vehicle to get you from one place to another. So we know that this proclamation is in Arabic because Allah preserved it on the deserts of Arabia to get you and I to understand what He wants for human life and also for the universe, the life of the whole universe. And right behind Arabiyan, he tells you, and I, wasarafna. This is the second form, sarafa. So the na ending means we, right? And we have explained therein in detail, in variety of ways. Wasarafna means in a variety of ways. He appeals to the heart, as I mentioned earlier. It is He who has given you the faculties of hearing and sight and feelings, little things it is that you give, using that to perhaps beckon us to give more thanks. Then in some ayahs, He will tell us in real strong terms that if we do not change our ways, Jahannam is ready. In fact, there's an ayah in the Quran where it's said in a very rhetorical way that hell will ask the question. Pardon me, the angels or Allah will ask the question, is there any more room in the hell for the disbelievers? And then hell will say, are there any more to come? So we know that Allah is beckoning us to the gardens amidst where rivers flow. He says more than once in the Quran, Hum fiha khalidun, and they are in it forever. And then He also gives the contrast and say that those who go to the Jahannam, they will be in it abadan, forever. But we know that forever is relative. And if we follow Al-Qariya, we know that Al-Qariya is suggesting to our minds that even if we go to the pit, the hellfire, there will be a mother there as a nurturing agent to bring us back out to the original picture nature that we started out with, coming out of the wombs of our mothers. Praise be to Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now notice I said ta'ala. I'm one of the Arabic police. Ta'ala, not ta'ala. Ta'ala is the sixth form verb, and the root of it is ayn, lam, and ya. Ala ya. Same root as ali, which means exalted. So please, if you have been saying, or if you hear it said, subhanahu wa ta'ala, please correct the one who utters that. And notice, too, that there are no P's in Arabic. So it's sub, like Subaru. Subhana wa ta'ala. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, highly glorified and exalted is he. The who on Subhana. Subhanahu. The who is he. Subhanahu. It sounds like a P, but it's like Subaru. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. It is only God is perfect and free from imperfection. Praise be to Allah. So continuing here, we have the next ayah that has what I just mentioned in a different version. فَتَعَالَ اللَّهُ الْمَالِكُ الْحَقُّ. That is, high above all is Allah, the King, the Truth. Praise be to Allah. So in continuing, we want to give you a few more examples, and we're going to close and prepare ourselves for the iftar. We're coming now from the surah 25, verse 50. 25:50. And I find this so beautiful. Using sarafa again in the second form. And you know, when we speak of learning the forms of the verbs and the have consequence and the lamb of intensity and the lamb of absolute negation and all those different subtle things that Allah uses to express His glorious Quran, we call it sarf. We call it kawaid. Sarf, coming from sarafa. So sarf would suggest a variety of ways to explain something. Walakat sarafnahu bainahum liyadhakkaru fa'aba aktharun nasi illa kufur. And we have distributed, Abdullah Yusuf Ali puts water in parentheses, and we have distributed the water amongst them in order that they may celebrate our praises. But most of the humanity are averse to everything but rank ingratitude. In other words, all they wanted to be is ungrateful and disbelievers. This is Allah indicting the annas here in this Surah 25, verse 50. And this is very, very important because in hadith literature, it speaks about if you have a dispute with a person, you should not go beyond 3 days in terms of giving them the assalamu alaikum greeting. And I know, as well as you know, Allah has said in the Quran that some people you should just say salam, and some it says turn away and don't even have anything to do with them. Leave them alone. Wait, for they too are waiting. In the Surah 68, Allah talks about the Zanim. Zanim. And if you read the Muhammad Asad translation, the Message of Quran, you will find that he's telling you and I that the root Zanama and the word Zanim, which is a noun or adjective, has to do with the wattles. I repeat, the wattles, W-A-T-T-L-E-S, on the ears of the goat. In fact, they look like little earrings. I've seen them in pictures on the internet. If you get a chance, take a look at these pieces of flesh on the head area or ear area of the goat. And they're very, very noticeable on some species of goat. But at any rate, it says that from what they know, these wattles have no value to the goat's life. No value at all. And so Allah is characterizing some human beings as being zanim. That is, wattles that have no use in the social order. In fact, you know as well as I know, if you're thinking along with me, you know the Quran says that some people are fuel for the fire. And we know that Allah speaks of Abu Lahab and his wife, revealed the ayah, revealed that surah when they were living, and told the people that they will be in the hellfire together, him and his wife. But did they repent and change their ways? Nah. So understand that we want to have mercy in our heart. We want to have love in our heart. At the same time, we want to understand that we should fight hard against those who fight against us, and don't be the aggressors, and fight with the Quran. In fact, I give you the ayah that says what I just stated. In the same surah, 52, where Allah says, فَلَا تُطِعِ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. Therefore, listen not to the unbelievers, but strive against them with the utmost strenuousness with the Quran. They translate this particular ayah by putting Quran in parentheses, and he's telling us by putting Quran in parentheses that the bihi is relating, he thinks, to striving with the Quran. Wajahidhum, and strive against them, bihi with it, jihadan kabiran, with a mighty or great struggle. So we're continuing here. We're coming just about to the close. And I want to give another commercial encouraging you to secure the book entitled The Language of Revelation. You can contact me via email, Sadiq@msn.com. You can go to my website, Sadiq Jihad, SIDDEQ jihad.com. And purchase it for a mere price of $25, which includes two instructional CDs that will help you learn the Arabic alphabet and the sound system, inshallah. And also, you can call me and do a transaction over the phone, and that number is 313-532-5246. I repeat, 313-532-5246. And one last ayah that I want to mention to you before we, in fact, go off of the air this evening. And that is Surah 33, verse 39. And it says, الَّذِينَ يُبَلِّغُونَ رِسَالَاتِ اللَّهِ وَيَخْشَوْنَهُ وَلَا يَخْشَوْنَ أَحَدًا إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ حَسِيبًا. Or حَسِيبًا, if you wanted to cut it. حَسِيبًا or حَسِيبًا. Translated by Abdullah Yusuf Ali, it is the practice of those who preach the message of Allah and fear Him and fear none but Allah. And enough is Allah to call men to account. So the point here is that Allah is letting the believers know that those who really preach the messages of Allah, they don't find any difficulty in doing it. And they have no fear but the fear of Allah. And they have the reverence for Allah. And so Allah is beckoning the believers not to be afraid to deliver this message to the whole of humanity. Love for your brothers and sisters what you love for yourself. And know that he who is slain in the way of God, they never die, though we perceive it not. So I extend to you the greeting of Ramadan Mubarak, and I close now with Al-Fatiha. And pardon me for not actually beginning with the entire Al-Fatiha, but I did begin with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. Iyyaka na'budu wa إياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. I see we have a few minutes left, so what I'm going to do is play a previous recorded lecture entitled El Fatiha and the correct pronunciation of it. So inshallah, until next week, may Allah continue to bless you and your family with a Ramadan Mubarak.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته وجنته. I am your host for the first segment from 7:30 to 8:15, and following me will be Imam William Bilal. My name is Sadiq Jihad. This evening we're going to go over some points relating to Al-Fatiha in terms of bad pronunciation. And so many times we have imams and khatibs and people who lead us in prayer who haven't taken the time to be sure in terms of the pronunciation. And many times, as I've stated before, it reflects upon the group that's following, and also it reflects upon the leadership idea in terms of people coming from the outside and they see that the imam himself is not reciting the basics of the Al-Fatiha and the other ayahs that may be recited. So I want to just bring to your attention some of the common mistakes in pronunciation that I've heard over the years, and in fact, I used to be part of that crowd that used to recite incorrectly until I made it my business to listen to Qaris, that is, reciters of the Quran, and also listen to various tapes. So the first ayah, as you know, is Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. It's not Bismillah, but it's Bismillah. And then Nir Rahim. Many times you hear people say Rahman Nir Rahim as though there's two N sounds or two noons in the middle of Ar Rahman, but there's only one. So it's Rah, a little air coming out with the Ha because it has what we call sukun on it, but not a whole lot of air, just a little bit. Ar Rahman. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Open up your mouth wide and come out of math and you utter Nir Rahim. And notice I'm making a little air come out with the H on Rahim also. So I recite it again. The Basmila is known as Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Next we have Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So many times you hear people say Alhamdu. It should be Alham with a little air coming out again. But that's the first H in the alphabetical order. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And notice I made an abrupt stop on the first ba or the first B of Rab. So I recite it again. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Many times you hear people say Rabbil Alameen. And it should not be Alameen. If you said Alameen, it would be like what we call a diphthong, that is the factor and the kasra sound being slurred together. Ayilamin is incorrect. It would be alamin. It's a guttural letter. The ayin is a guttural letter coming from the gut, if you will. And it's the same sound that you would utter if the dentist would tell you to open up your mouth, and you open up your mouth and you say, ah, and that opens up your mouth quite wide so that the dentist could see down your throat, see all of your teeth, if you will. So again, it's Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Then we have again Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Notice I said Ma, and then I came right out of Ma, and I said Nir Rahim. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. And that particular R is a rolling R, and I'm not the best at rolling that R, but I'm going to, you know, try to do it more consciously now. Ar-Rahmanir-Rahim. Then the next ayah, Maliki Yawmiddin. The Ma is lengthened. Maliki Yawmiddin. And if you shorten it, it would be a different word, because Malik means king, but Maliki means master of the day of judgment. Maliki Yawmiddin. So you have Malik in the Al-Fatiha, you have Malik, real short and choppy, in the Surat An-Nas, the last surah of the Quran. So again, Maliki Yawmiddin. Next you have E. That's a long E sound. Very rare in the Arabic language to have a word that has two long sounds back to back. But nevertheless, it is something that is found in the Arabic language. So it's Iyaka. So you got E long, and then you have Ya long also. Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Notice, I said na'budu. Many times you hear people say na'budu, as though there is a fatha on the ayin, but there's a sukun on the ayin following the noon. We worship na'budu, na'budu, na'budu. And you don't want to make it real rough and raspy, just a quick, abrupt stop. In fact, whenever you have a sukun on a letter, it's an abrupt, momentary stop. And the same thing applies when you have a shadda on a letter. There's an abrupt stop before the first of the doubled letters, and then you come on into the second letter, as we stated earlier. Rabbil Alameen, Rabbil Alameen. Sukun actually means to be silent, to rest momentarily. So going back to Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. Many times you hear people say nasta'in, but there's a noon fatha. And if you have Al-Fatiha in front of you, it would perhaps be helpful to you if you can read the letters. And then there's a scene with sukun. So if there's a scene with sukun following noon fatha, that means you have to stop and you say nes. It's like the bird's nest. Nes, and then you have ta with fatha, nes ta. And then you have the ayin with kasra and the ya following it to lessen it. And then you have the noon on the end. So it's nesta'in, nesta'in. So again, iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nesta'in. Next, ihdinos. Notice I say ihdinos. Why did I say ihdinos? Because the letter sod is the first letter after the definite article. And the sod is a voluminous letter. And by it being a voluminous volume letter, the noon fatha that comes before it becomes na as opposed to na. So again, it's ihdinos sira. The ra is long. Tal, the tall. Mus, taqin. Ihdinas siratal mustaqim. Mustaqim. Many times you hear people say mustaqim. But in reality, you have to make an abrupt stop after the mean Dhamma or Mus. You got a scene, so it's Mus, and then the Ta with Fatha, and then the Kaf with Kasra, is lengthened with the Ya, and then you have the mean as the last letter. So again, Ihdinas Siratal Mustaqim. صراط الذين the V is long الذين أنعمت أنعم it's an عين there أنعمت أنعمت عليهم instead of saying عليهم I hear some of the prominent imams in our community or I should say one that I know of if you've heard him recite or fatwa you may know who I'm referring to but I'm not going to mention his name. But he'll say, Aleihim. If he said Aleihim, it's though he's making the H, the Ha, along with Kasra followed by Ya. So if you say Aleihim, a person may think that you're saying the Ha with a long sound. But in fact, it's a short sound. So the correct pronunciation of that would be Aleihim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم in the last ayah غير المغ مغ مغ and then you have a hard dod that's listening with the wow it has dhamma on it so you say مغدوبي غير المغدوبي عليهم And then you say walad, walad. It's not walad, but it's walad. Why is it walad? Because of the power of the dod, that high volume letter. You have to change the la sound into la. And you say waladolid. And notice I made the dod sound very long. Because it has what we call a medda, meaning to lengthen the sound. And the professor that I was taught by said 4 to 6 beats, or even sometimes longer. Waladoli. Then you have a shedda on the lamb following the long dod sound. So if you're very precise in pronunciation, you'll hear 2 L's. And listen again, you'll hear Ghayril Maghdubi Alayhim Waladolli. I rested on an L very quickly, and then I came out, lean. And then the last thing that we say is Ameen. The I is long, and the mean sound as long as well. So I'll recite Al-Fatiha one more time and then we'll go into some other things here. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. Maliki Yawmiddin. بود وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين So many times It's a good thing to fancy up the Al-Fatiha, let's say in a public gathering sometimes, but it helps the spirit. So sometimes I'll give my public Al-Fatiha, and then sometimes I'll give my real personal Al-Fatiha if I'm at home or with people that I'm familiar with. I'll just really zoom into it in a real spiritual manner. And then sometimes I'll, sing it real loud, or I should say chant it real loud with a little rhythm. So everyone has a way of reciting a fact behind, there's a uniqueness to it. And I would encourage you not to necessarily copy off of anyone, but just allow your spirit to recite it. And remember that you make the long sound long, and be sure to make the short sound short. So in continuing the presentation this evening, I want to perhaps give more assistance in terms of the sounds, because I've been listening to some of the speakers, you know, in our community, and many times they are, you know, teaching people, and their pronunciation is bad, and as a consequence, the students that are listening may pick up the bad pronunciation. It may be a bad reflection upon us should we have visitors, or should we have aspiring people who want to get it right. So mind you that according to the teacher that was instructing me, he was from Egypt, and he spoke pure Arabic Fusha, and he also spoke high class, if you will, British English. So he taught us a lot about English as well as Arabic. So we have what I would venture to say 18 flat letters in the Arabic language, 18 of them. And I say 18 because I'm counting Hamza as a flat letter that is distinct and different in terms of sound anyway from Aleph. So I begin with it's a flat sound, as in Adam, as in apple, as in wasama rafa'aha wa wada'a al-mizan, the verse from Surah Ar-Rahman. So the Hamza is a real short, as my associate William Bilal says, it's a glottal or glottal stop. It's almost a click. Whereas fatha on the Aleph is a little bit longer than which is Hamza. So the third of the flat letters is ba. So you put a fatha on it, simply ba, as the name of the letter is called as well. Then you have the letter ta. Then you have the letter ta. Then you have the letter jim. And the jim with fatha gives you a flat sound again, ja. Allah says in the Quran, kaja'akum min Allahi nurun wa kitabun mubin. No doubt has come to you all a light and a plain, perspicuous book. Ja. So the Hamza is on that word, he came, or came. Ja. That's, again, a flat sound. And then you have the letter dal. So dal is a D. You put a fatha on that, you get the simple sound of da. Da as in daddy. Then you have the letter vowel. The name of it is vowel, but you never hear vowel in the pronunciation of the letter vowel. Put fatha, kasra, dhamma, and so on. So the sound with fatha is tha. We have tha in the Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This is the book wherein there is absolutely no doubt, and its guidance sure for those who have reverence for their guardian Lord. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. This guidance sure to those who have reverence for God. And then you have the letter Zayn. Zayn is a flat letter as well. So I put a fatha on the Z, and it's simply Za. Next we have the letter Seen. You never hear the sound Seen unless there's a Kasra and there's a Ya sound following the Kasra and then the Noon making a Seen on. But the letter is Seen. But with fatha, simply Za. As in sat. Next you have the letter sheen, which is a SH sound in terms of English equivalency. Put the fatha on the sheen and you come up with the sound sha, as in shahada. And then we have the letter fa. Now, you notice we jumped the number of letters because a lot of those letters in between sheen and fa are either semi-voluminous or highly voluminous. So fa is simply a sound, as in Adam, or a as in apple, as I indicated earlier. And then we have the letter calf, which is a K equivalent in terms of English. So I put a fatta on the cat, and it's simply cat, cat. Then we have the letter lamb. Lamb with fatta is la. Meen with fatta is ma. Noon with fatta is na. And then we have the letter ha, as in hatchet. Ha, as in hat. And then the last letter of the Arabic alphabet is ya. So I'm going to just recite all 18 of these letters with fatha, and you'll notice that all of them have the ah sound. Ah, that's the hamza. Ah, ta, ta, tha, ja, da, tha, za, sa, sha, fa, ka, la, ma, na, ha, and then ya. Now, mind you, that when these letters interact with the semi-voluminous letters or the fully voluminous letters, the sound of the flat letter changes somewhat. And I'll give you some examples of words that I mispronounced because of people not having the knowledge of the change in the sound when these letters interact with the high volume or the semi-voluminous letters. In fact, perhaps I could tell you my volume, because voluminous may not be a word that's familiar to everyone. All right, next we have what we call, that is our professor called, the semi-voluminous letters. And the first of those are ha, a little air coming out. And it's the same sound as you would utter if you said ha, 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 like you're laughing at someone. Ha, ha, ha. And then we have the letter ha, rhyming with ha. So we got ha and ha. And ha, you scrape the back of your throat slightly as though you're trying to cough up a bone that may have got caught in the back of your throat. Ha. But you don't want to make it real rough and say ha like that. That's a little bit repulsive to the ear. So it's ha and ha. And next we have ra. It's a rolling R. Ra. And I have heard from the students that I was teaching some time ago that the cheerleaders, they say, ra, 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 sis, boom, ba. What that means, I don't know. But continuing, the next letter is ayn. Ayn. And perhaps by the name of the letter being ayn, that's why people try to say ayn. But the ayn with fatha is simply ah, as though you're opening up your mouth for the dentist, or something happened to your finger, for example, when you cut your finger, you say ah, like that. Yeah, so it's ah. And then you have the letter ghain, ghain, ghain. And ghain is rhyming with ah, if I put a fatha on it. So you got ah and then ga, ga as in gotcha. Next we have the letter wow, wow. And this is not a flat sound. If I say wa, you don't usually hear that. If you listen to the Qaris, they say wa. I'll give you an example of an ayah. It says, wa kalimatullah fiyal ulya wallahu azizun hakim. And the words of Allah are exalted to the heights, and He is the mighty, the wise. The sound is wa, as in watch. Wa, as in watch. It's not wa, it's wa. That's wa with fatha. So what I'm talking about now, it applies to the other vowel marks as well. If I were to put the kasra on these semi-voluminous letters, it would be chi. I'm still Allah and the other air come out. And we have an attribute of Allah called Al-Muhit. It is the one who surrounds things. Al-Muhit. Then we have the Kha with Kasra, or the Khi. Scraping the back of my throat a little bit. Then we have Ri. Trying to roll that R with the Kasra. Then we have Ai. Nesta'in. It's a Kasra on the Ain. And Nesta'in. Then we have Ga. Gaudaba means to, he was angry. And we have the saying that the Prophet reportedly said, La taqdab. Don't be angry. La taqdab. Ga. As in, gotcha. And then, as I mentioned, if I put a kasra on it, it would be ri. And then the wow with kasra would be we, as in the Arabic, or I should say the English first person plural pronoun, we. All right. And next we have the high volume letters. And one of them, or the first of them, I should say, is Sod. And notice when we say the name of this letter, we hear a D, but there is no D sound when you put Fatha Kasra Dhamma on it at the end. But the name of the letter is indeed Sod. So this is an S also, but it is a hard S, and it's a different S, same as we have two different S sounds in English. We have Sa, which is the letter seen, as in Sat. This one is Saw, with Fatha, as in I saw you. Saw. Saw. Then if I put a kesh on it, as in my name, Siddiq. So a lot of effort is put in when you have this volume letter to distinguish it from the soft S. Siddiq, which means truthful. Extremely, inshallah. And then we have the letter Dawd. Dawd. Again, you hear the D sound at the end of that. And the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is reported to have said that he is the most eloquent of those who speak the language of the Dawd, the letter Dawd. In fact, I have the whole report here, and it says, Ana afsahu man nataqa bidadi baida anni min Quraishan was tur to the Bani Adim, pardon me, the Adim ni Bakrun. And I translated here in the page 241 of the Arabic Proverbs and Sayings in my book, The Language of Revelation. I have, this is the Prophet, I have the purest pronunciation of the letter Dawd, but I am of Quraysh. I was put out to nurse among the Bani Sa'd ibn Bakr. These are reported words of the Prophet Muhammad. So mind you that the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was put out into the desert with the pure Bedouins who spoke the most eloquent and precise of the Arabic language. So Prophet Muhammad had great ability to utter the Arabic words and consequently the Arabic Quran that Allah revealed to him and to us as well, because we know that this was a message to all of the worlds, to all of the knowledge bases, to all of the creatures. Praise be to Allah. So next we have the letter Ta. Ta as in tall. and you put a fatha on the ta, it's the same sound, ta. You have the other T in Arabic with fatha, the ta, it would just simply be ta. So you have ta and ta. We have ta in the al-fatiha where we say, Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Next we have the letter va. That's a very hard sound. Talking about volume, indeed it is a very voluminous letter. Va, va. And then we have the most voluminous letter, and that is the kaf. And you have it so beautifully in the surah entitled Al-Qariyah, Al-Qariyah, وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْقَارِيَةُ. On this particular letter, you can open up your mouth very wide and have it coming from the back of the throat. الْقَارِيَةُ. That concludes all of the letters. So we have 18 flat sounds. Then we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 semi-voluminous letters, making 24. Then we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 voluminous letters, making a total of 29. Next, I want to go to page 9 of the book I have written called The Language of Revelation in Arabic. That would be translated as Lugatut Tanzil. So I'm beginning a review of the semi-voluminous letters. Ha is pronounced like the sound of someone laughing. Ha, 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 with a slight bit of breath. Then we have ha is pronounced like ha as in the disease, cholera. Then we have ra, a rolling R. Then you have ah, ah is pronounced ah as in Ali. Then we have the gain, it's pronounced ha as in the word gotcha. And then we have the wow, which is the W equivalent in English. It's pronounced wa as in the word watch. Moving right along, we have the voluminous letters again here. And they are sod, dod, thaw, and cough. The sod is pronounced like the word saw and differs from the flat abrupt letter seen with fatha. If I had a fatha on the seen, as I indicated earlier, it would be sa. But a fatha on the saw would be saw, as in I saw you. And next we have the letter dod again. It's pronounced like the first part of the word daughter. And it differs from dal with fatha. Dal with fatha, which is a soft D, is da. But the dod with fatha is daw, as in darling, to go astray, to miss the mark. And then we have the letter tall. It's pronounced like the first part of the word tall, tall. It differs from the soft ta with fatta, which is ta. So again, the tall with fatta is tall. And then the letter that has no English equivalent is tall. And it is similar to the sound of the word thaw, but it is a harder sound, thaw, thaw. And I would say to you, you could take your tongue and push it very hard away from the bottom of your top row of teeth. So it's thaw, thaw. Again, it comes from putting the tongue on the bottom of the top row of teeth, and you push the tongue back into the mouth. Thaw, thaw. And next, we mentioned the most voluminous of the letters, cough. It's pronounced cough as in coffee. It's uttered from the back of the throat. So I pray a lot of that has been some help to you in your pronunciation. And now I want to just go over a few words that will show you the interaction between the voluminous letters with the flat letters in terms of pronunciation. We have the word Dawah, Dawah, Dawah. And most people pronounce that very incorrectly. They go out and invite people and call people to Islam. And you have, unfortunately, people who don't care about proper pronunciation, and it makes us as a group look very bad. And so, again, the word for da'wah, and notice when it's spelled, is D-A, and then they put a little apostrophe, W-A-H. And that apostrophe is symbolizing the ayin with sukun, but it's hard to transliterize this word into English. But the correct pronunciation of our call or invitation is da'wah, da'wah. And it means one call. Da'watun, there's a feminine T on the end of this word. And it's one call. And the call is to what? It's not a call to the Hanafi school or the Maliki school or to Imam W.D. Muhammad, but it's a call to Allah, a call to the Quran. And then from the call to the Quran, we follow it up with endeavoring hard to emulate the life example of Prophet Muhammad of Allahu alayhi wa sallam. Next we have the word ikhlas, ikhlas, ikhlas. But let me go back for a moment. Here we have the dal fatah beginning the word dawah. I don't say dawah. I don't say dawah because the ayin, which is a semi-voluminous letter, forces me into changing the sound from dal fatah, changing it to da, so it becomes da-wa. It would be very difficult for you or I to give that guttural sound representing the ayin and then try to maintain a da sound, da-wa, da-wa. In fact, it sounds repulsive in many ways, so it would be da-wa, da-wa. Okay, next we have the word ikhlas, ikhlas. And ikhlas, as you know, is the title of the Surah 112, Surah Al-Ikhlas, Ikhlas. Now, mind you, when we spell it, many times we'll spell it I-K-H hyphen L-A-A-S. And many times you'll have people who will recite it and utter it, and they'll say Ikhlas, Ikhlas. And that would be wrong, because if they say ikhlas, it is as though they're saying that the S is the seen, the soft S. So because of the fact that the sod is the last letter of this word, and the last sound, which is a flat letter, comes before it, the power of the sod takes precedence. And we change the sound of lam fatah, that is lengthened, to la. That's why we come up with ikhlas, just to the ikhlas. All right. Next, we have the sunset prayer name. You hear many people say Maghrib, but it's not Maghrib. We have to change the ma sound to ma and become mag, Maghrib, Maghrib, Maghrib. A lot of times you hear people say Maghrib, things like that, but in reality, there's a Mim fatah, followed by a ghain sukun, followed by ra kasra and a ba with dammatain, and we don't say the dammatain, we just cut it as though there was a sukun on the ba, and we say maghrib. Okay, next we have the word that is translated as excellence or goodness, and that word is ihsan, ihsan. Ihsan. Now notice the word ihsan begins with a kasra on an aleph. And the kasra on the aleph generally would be E. But because of the fact that the ha, 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 is following it with a sukun, we change the aleph kasra sound to I. as opposed to eat. It would be real hard to say e and then make an air come out for the make some air come out with the ha with sukun. Let me just try and see if I could do it. Ihsan, ihsan, ihsan. That's very difficult, like a tongue twister. So they change the sound and we say ihsan, ihsan. You hear the air coming out? Ihsan. Allah has a beautiful ayah in the Quran for us, a very rhetorical ayah, and it says, "Hal jazaa'u ihsani illa ihsan." That is there any reward for excellence other than excellence? And then we have the word help, which is nasrun or nasr, nasr. And this is very difficult to say from the standpoint that there's a sa'd that has a sukun, and then it ends with ra. So it's almost like you say nasara, but actually it's nasr, nasr. You have nun fatha, followed by a sa'd with sukun, and a ra with dhammatain. And notice I mentioned to you that the noon is a flat letter, and generally it's na. But because of that voluminous letter, sard, we change that na sound into na and become nas, nasr, which means help. Iza ja'a an-nasrullahi al-fah. When comes the help of God in victory? Another word we have is the word that means the state of being astray, coming from dalla, which means to go astray, the same root as dalin. We find this in the surah entitled The Elephant, the second ayah, where it says, tadlil, tadlil, tadlil. And it begins with a ta fatha. Coming right after the ta fatha is the dard, which is a strong letter. So I change the ta sound into ta. So it becomes tadlil, 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 instead of tadlil. If I said tadlil, it would be as though I'm using the dal instead of the dard. So you see the power of the voluminous letters cause the flat letters to become semi voluminous. So again, it's taught Leo. Then we have a beautiful phrase that I always like to say. I like the very sound of it. And it is meaning continue. Continue, and the inference is, and the implication is, in excellence. So if you are, let's say, going into a restaurant or something and you want to be kind to the persons that are with you, you hold the door for all of them and you tell them, tafaddal, tafaddal. Continue in excellence. Continue the way you're going, and I'll hold the door for you. So he said, tafaddal, tafaddal. And notice we got the ta fatta, and we got the fa with fatta, so that's tafa normally. But because of the dard coming after the fa, we change the fa sound to fa, and we come up with the command in the fifth form of the Arabic verb. The second person masculine singular, tafaddal, tafaddal, tafaddal. And if you wanted to give this command to a female, you would say, tafaddali, tafaddali, to a female. So I think that would give you some idea of the change in the sound. Another one would be, as we have it in Al-Fatiha, Ghayril Maghdubi Mag. So the mag becomes mag. Why? Because the gain is a semi-voluminous letter. So mean fatha is generally ma. But because of the sukun on the gain, we change the ma to ma, and we say mag, Maghdubi, Maghdubi, which means wrath. It's very interesting to reflect upon the fact that when you say Maghdubi, it's almost like you're cutting your breath off when you rest on that gain with sukun. You say Maghdubi, Ghayril Maghdubi. We definitely don't want our air to be cut off. We want long life, inshallah, inshallah. And then We have a beautiful ayah of the Quran, including this. Inna batsha rabbika lashadid. Surely the grip of your Lord is intensely strong. I'm coming from page 27 of the book entitled The Language of Revelation. Inna batsha rabbika lashadid. Surely the grip of your Lord is intensely strong. Why do I say intensely strong? Because I'm translating the lam fatha that comes before the word strong, which is shadid. So Allah is saying that his grip is intensely strong, not just strong, but intensely strong. Praise be to Allah. And I want to mention this too, because I hear this so much, and I'm not trying to speak in a condescending way like I'm a perfect Arabic speaker or anything like that. But some things are quite readily understood and known if you make the long sounds long and the short sounds short and you actually look at what you are reciting. And I'm speaking now of the Adhan. So many times you hear people recite the Adhan and they will say, La ilaha illallah. They're making the ha long. And if they do that, they are disavowing or obliterating the whole intent of Allah putting the fatha on the ha. La ilaha, like a hatchet. So in reality, Allah is cutting off the existence of that deity. La means no, but by putting a fatha on the ha, it means absolutely no, like Allah is hollering and ramming the point home that there is no deity. And he says, illallah, except Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Notice I said, subah, it's a ba instead of a p. There are no p's in Arabic, so I'm going to have to correct myself. But it's subah, subhana, subha, like ha ha ha, subhana. Wa ta'ala. You hear people say, Subhana wa ta'ala. It's not Allah in that particular phrase. Ta'ala means to be exalted, to be lifted up high. So that's why we say, highly praised and glorified is He. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. A'la. That's an ayin. Praise be to Allah. So, if you hear a person calling the van and they say, La ilaha, either correct them right on the spot or wait until he concludes and correct them then. And then if he does it again, I think it's our obligation to tell you can't recite the Adhan if you're not going to do it right. And I remember reading in one of the prayer books some years ago before I learned any Arabic that there's a saying that it says Allah is the Lord of the perfect call. So if he's the Lord of the perfect call, then should not the call be perfect as possible? So I conclude now by reciting one of the du'as that I really enjoy reciting, and it is, Rabbana atmim lana, Rabbana atmim lana, nurana waghfir lana, innaka ala kulli shay'in qadir. Our Lord, complete our life for us and forgive us, for surely you have power over all things at all times. Some of the translators, pardon me, say, our Lord, perfect our light. And we know that our light can never be perfect, because if our light was perfect, we would be Allah himself, and we can never reach that state. So that's why I softened the atomism into complete. In other words, Allah, give us all